Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. It's 8:11. It is Wednesday morning. I'm sorry, here on KSJ. It is Wednesday. I thought it was Thursday for a minute, but it's not. It's still Wednesday, October the 20th, 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico, and 103.3 FM up in Durango, Colorado. I know why I thought it was Thursday, because it's my birthday tomorrow, and I'm just trying to rush it to get there and get it over with, but not yet. Anyway, thanks for being here, everybody, and welcome to our viewers who are joining us on the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We're glad that you're with us as well, everybody, because coming up today, Wednesday, my guest this morning, the superintendent of the Central Consolidated School District, Daniel Benavidez, is here. We'll be talking with him in the next few moments about everything that's going on in Central Schools this month. Later on this hour, Ron Price will be here to give us another lesson about life in the sandbox. This week, we're talking about brainstorming with Ron Price, so that's coming up later on, 8:50 a.m. right here on KSJE. Next hour, Mick Hess is going to take us roving with the arts. He is playing music from the composer Korngold on KSJE today. You'll hear some of those selections on a 90-minute program, which will take us to 10:30 and right on Four Corners, our local and regional author program. Tracy Hales-Vass is speaking with author Melody Groves about her book, When Outlaws Wore Badges. That discussion coming up today at 10:30 right here on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page, and if you're a podcast person, you can search for KSJE on all the popular podcast apps and subscribe for free to check out the KSJE podcast when you're not near a radio or just want to listen to something on demand. So check us out on your favorite podcast app. Weather forecast, sunny this morning, 36 degrees outside our studios this morning, and we're expecting a mostly sunny day today with a high of 53 in Farmington, 34 tonight, sunshine, 54 tomorrow, and 54 degrees on Friday under mostly sunny skies and overnight lows near 30 degrees. Well, let me turn to my guest who is here with me this morning. He was here on the right day. I'm just a little mixed up this morning. Daniel Benavidez, the superintendent of schools with the Central Consolidated School District, is here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing?
I am well, if I could read a calendar, but yeah, I'm doing all right. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. Everything's going all right in Central Schools. We were talking a bit about face-to-face learning, and of course that is going well, huh?
It's going well. Before we even get started with anything else, I want to thank the community and especially the parents and the students for helping us keep our numbers down. We're doing an excellent job of keeping our numbers down. We're averaging less than two cases per day, and I know other districts aren't having that luck or that success, but I'm very proud of our staff, our parents, and our students for keeping the course and staying in school, and we're just really, really fortunate that they're helping us out with that, so thank you.
Very good. Good to know, and it sounds like maybe then the policies that are in place to deal with those cases when they do pop up or helping to keep it from spreading and keeping the learning going as safely as you can.
Right. Our principals are doing a phenomenal job. they were the first ones to suggest how to go about this, and you got to give them the credit. They're kind of the captains. If we're in the Navy, they're the captains of their ship.
Right.
And they're doing an excellent job, and we're going. We haven't even considered, knock on wood.
Okay.
Even getting close to shutting down, because they're doing what they need to do, and kids are in school and participating in sports and doing what they normally do, except with a mask.
Right. So. Which everybody was really kind of pushing for all of last year, was to get kids back in the classroom.
Exactly.
And now they are, and they're staying there, and so that's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
Very good. You mentioned sports, and certainly folks are coming out and cheering on their teams, and it's getting a little colder out there, so you want folks to be prepared, I suppose.
Be prepared. Take your blankets. The mornings are cool. The nights are cool. The days are hot. I shouldn't say hot, but they're pretty warm.
Right.
But just appreciate everybody being professional and cheering on their kids and the students, and it's getting tournament time, and people will be going on to state, and we want to wish everybody we'll beat everybody, but that's not possible. But we just want them to be competitive, and we're looking forward to those students competing.
Sure. One of your former colleagues on the superintendent used to say, that during the week everybody's very partner specific and wanting to work together, but on Friday nights
is a different
all
story.
Bets are off, right? Very competitive. So that sounds about right.
Yep.
And so folks can certainly do that. I did want to ask you too a little bit about snow day policy. I know we don't have any snow yet, none in the forecast that we can see, but eventually we're hopeful that maybe there'll be some snow. But this year things may be a little bit different, right, when it comes to snow days, that kids may need to still go to class. Sorry, kids.
Yeah, it's I think one of the, if there is anything positive out of COVID, I think the fact that we're able to go remote and still give kids learning opportunities online and not give them a snow day, which, sorry, kids, you're not part of that generation that got to stay home, but it looks like it's going to be, and I've talked to other superintendents around the state, and they're looking at that as well, that their snow days are just really going to be remote learning. And I think that's helpful. So apologize that you guys can't stay home and watch Days of Our Lives or something like that.
Right. But, go out with the sled or something, whatever it might be, or shovel, as the case may be. But but that's the policy so far with Central Schools.
So far, that's what we're looking at, yeah.
So obviously, if there is inclement weather, you would send out a message and let the media know that that folks will just revert to remote learning, and the buses won't be running, but you'll still be expected to be in class.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I keep a nice watch on the radar. I'm a junior forecaster, but try to watch the radar and the direction of the weather. And I hope we get snow. I hope we need the moisture. But if we do get something where we can't go to school, we will send enough notice, usually the night before, so they're ready.
Very good. Two-hour delays could still be an option, too, I suppose,
correct,
and some possibilities, because I know you've got to think about your buses and some of those roads that your buses are going on, and the Central District certainly is one of the largest, geographically speaking, in the state, and so you've got to figure out, some of the more urban areas are not a problem, but when you get out on some of those other county roads and reservation roads, it's a different story.
It's tough. One of the things that I've noticed is the dirt roads out there, they get wet, they get muddy, and we got to watch that. So it's just one of the things where we try to manage it and look at it and try to do our best to keep kids safe.
Right. Very, very true. And I know it's completely different when it's wet and frozen as opposed to wet and unfrozen.
Yeah, the mud is amazing. I've never had to deal with mud as much as I have up here. But it's, you know what? It is what it is, and we just deal with it. It'd be nice if all roads were paved, but that's beyond our control, and we'll just deal with it.
Sure. There you go. So that's the way that the things will be going this winter, and we have some elections coming up, and I think we both want to encourage everyone to get out and vote if they're in a district that has elections. I know you have some school board elections up, and so school board seats up.
I encourage everybody, as a former social studies teacher, I really encourage people to go out, vote for your candidate. It's important that you support this process, whether it's a write-in or just checking off the box. I think that it's important for people to vote. And, and if you have other items on the ballot that you're in favor of or not in favor of, I think you need to vote that way. Too many times when you ask people If they voted, they said, no, it's not worth it. Well, it is worth it. Where it's, you know, I myself is a I'm a vet, combat vet, and I'm very proud of the fact that I fought for this country, and I think that's something that we take for granted, and a lot of countries don't have that opportunity to vote. And there's multiple ways to vote. There's early voting. You can send in a absentee. So there really is no excuse for not voting. And so I really encourage people to vote. So
very true. And actually, the county clerk is my guest tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
On Thursday.
On your birthday.
On the birthday
so happy
show.
Birthday.
Thank you very much. But she'll be coming in to talk a little bit about voting and how that is secure and all the steps that she has taken, because some of these elections are now in the fall, whereas before they used to be in the spring for the cities. And so it'll be a good conversation to have. Yeah. But we encourage everyone to get out and vote. And you're right, early voting has started, I believe, for a week now.
Yeah.
And so it is underway. We've talked in the past about funding for central schools, and there was some money that became available after a drawn-out litigation, and so how's that going to figure out how to spend that money, I guess is my question.
I think we're doing an excellent job. There's a couple of issues right now. We have money because of the impact aid and some other federal money, and we're trying to spend it as fast as we can without just buying stuff. We're trying to be strategic to buy those things in the past that we weren't able to. One of the things that we're focusing on, which is a benefit to the students, is outdoor classroom space, which means that in areas like playgrounds and other areas, we want to put a canopy out there so they can use it when it's warm or when it's hot, they can go underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem with that, though, because of the supply chain. The steel and other things are being held up, and prices have gone up for lumber and other things. So those are some concerns, but we're trying to spend that money with due diligence, making sure that we spend it the way taxpayers want it to be spent, not on junk, but good things for kids. And then one of the things that I was telling you earlier that I was trying to remember on my way over here is that our housing is some of the housing for teachers. It's going up really, it's really nice. I think we'll have a total of 15 units in two different areas. But, you know, if you happen to be in the area, even if you don't go to our school district, and you happen to be in the central area up in Shiprock, we encourage you to go check out our housing. I think it's going to be a model for the state, and we encourage you to go see that, because it's going to be really nice housing for teachers to be able to teach and live on the reservation.
Right, and that's significant, because that is a continuing challenge, I guess, for finding teachers to come and teach in some of your schools because of its location and the lack of available housing for those teachers, just because of how the reservation is set up.
Right. And quite frankly, you know, my understanding is it's hard to find even rentals in Farmington and the Kirtland area. So, you know, that's a project that we started, 7-8 months ago. And we have one of the houses that's almost done, but they're moving up. They're being put up fast, and really proud of that. That's one of the start of many projects that we're doing with that money. Will be our Kirtland football field and the Shiprock football field have brand new LED lights that are spectacular. They're really beautiful. They really light up the field, but we're going to do that in the parking lots and all the areas for safety, and you'll start to see those projects pop up with that money. And so it's been needed quite a bit in our district, and we will use that money and do our due diligence with it. So
very good. And with those improvements, it sounds to me some of those LED improvements especially would save the district money in the long term, won't it? Because they'll be cheaper to run,
longer lasting, brighter. We want to do our part to save taxpayer money on those utilities.
Right.
But it also helps that we can have more light using less, spending less money, and be safe for kids and for staff members when they stay late if they're in the classrooms during the winter months, because, as you know, our days are shorter. And so some of those projects are going to be coming up. I just hope that the steel comes a little bit faster,
right,
so we can start putting those things up. But really excited about a lot of the projects we're doing around the district.
And those things do add up. I mean, I can't imagine what your electric bill is like for your for the district, for all the buildings that you have to heat and cool and light,
right,
and parking lots and football fields and all the rest of it.
Right.
But that's what we're talking about.
Talking
some of
about
these things.
That, and we're also talking about upgrading our HVAC systems to make sure that we have ventilation that meets the COVID standards that have been put out.
We've learned a lot about that the last 18 months.
It's crazy. You know, UV lights and filtering and changing out and retrofitting. It's hard to retrofit, but we're really focusing on that and having ventilation go in and out so there's fresh air and stuff like that. And it's good. I think it's a good thing. I think all districts are facing around the state that they're trying to make sure that we keep kids safe.
Right. Well, and that's a good use of some of these maybe one-time funds that are coming available for these types of projects. You mentioned you were spending it fast. Is that just because there's a deadline on spending that money, or just trying to get it out to get these things into the classrooms quick?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both.
Okay.
For the federal money, we have 24 months, and we want to make sure that we're spending that money in a timely fashion, because if you don't spend it in that 24 months, it gets reverted. And so we don't want to turn any money back. And so what we're trying to do is spend that money without, quote John Wooden, the famous UCLA coach, be quick, but don't be in a hurry. That's what we're trying to do with the money. Our state money and the impact aid money, we don't have to spend as fast because there's no sunset on that. But, we're trying to make sure we give kids what has been lacking in the district. A lot of our schools have had HVACs that they've been kind of bandaged together. So we're fixing them or getting new units in there. We're upgrading our key code system in the district, so it's card-based instead of keys. And so those are the things that have been, just because of lack of money, we're trying to get those things taken care of, those one-time fixes. And that way we have to maintain and not have to, buy.
Right. And those key cards are of almost a security measure too, right?
Correct.
Because it really tells you who's coming and going.
Coming and going.
From your buildings.
Right. And again, it allows us to, God forbid we have a kid missing or something like that. But if we have cameras there, we can have it. We have it referenced in a time frame. Time is up for the essence. But more than anything, it's a lot easier just to swipe and go in versus a key. If you lose a key, you got to get it refit and all that stuff. A card you can deactivate and get a new one.
Right.
And so it's a lot easier that way.
Gotcha. Very good. My guest this morning, the superintendent of schools for the Central Consolidated School District, Daniel Benavidez, is this year talking a bit about some of the spending that's going on at the central schools from some monies that have become available. Some of this is specific COVID relief aid that's come from the federal government. Other is that impact aid that you and I have talked about in the past. But just to bring the audience kind of up to speed, this is after a kind of a long settled lawsuit almost, right?
Yeah,
wasn't it against the state or with the state?
There were several fronts as we mentioned in the past, we've had a concerted efforts amongst three districts, Zuni, Gallup, and Central. And then we had other people that helped us out. Many people, I can't even begin to thank all the people, the tribes, legislators, governor, a lot of different people that helped out with this effort. So three-year effort, about that. But it took some time. It benefited all people around the state, because along with that, those people that that had the ability to raise money through property taxes are allowed to keep all their money now. And so they can use that within their district. So that was a benefit to those districts that weren't getting impact aid, but they could also keep their local property tax. We're really excited because we're able to give kids what they need, and it's gonna take a little bit of time to get them caught up, and at least in our district, technology-wise, but it's well worth it. I think taxpayers will be happy that we're spending it in the correct way and not just blowing money for, frivolous stuff.
Right. And the issue was, if I remember correctly, was that these districts that you mentioned, the three districts that brought this lawsuit, basically saying that you weren't getting your fair share of this federal impact aid that was coming into the state. The state was redistributing to, I think, almost every district,
right,
and not just to the districts like yours that doesn't have the property tax base similar to other districts, say Farmington, Aztec, Bloomfield, Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, what have you. Am I right?
Yeah,
am I
close? You're spot on. In the 50s, the
I'm not a lawyer, but sometimes I dress like one. So there's
you stayed at a Holiday Inn, right?
Right.
In the 50s, the Congress at the federal level decided that they needed to do something for those districts around the United States to be able to compensate them for federal money, because you can't tax federal lands, and that was their way of helping them out. It's still only 8 to 10 cents on the dollar. It's not 1-to-1 like property tax is, but that 8 to 10 cents on the dollar does give us money for pretty much everything anything that we need to do in the district. Mm-hmm. We need to build, we need to add, we need to hire, whatever we need to do for kids, it's allowable under that. And it's been a benefit for us. because we get a good chunk of that for our students that are on the reservation. And as we've talked in the past, we are able to maintain buildings or build buildings that we haven't been able to do. We've had to rely on the state, and that's long, and there's a waiting list on that, and this allows us to do that, so to build and maintain buildings.
Got you. And so when we hear that 8 to 10 cents on the dollar, and then the word that you weren't even getting all of that,
right,
is kind of where the law, well, that's why you've lawsuits were filed, it sounds.
Yeah, there was a Zuni lawsuit back in 2000 that they filed on behalf. They were the only district that filed that back in 2000. That changed the funding formula as far as how capital was distributed and how money for capital was given.
Sure.
And so that's still out there. It hasn't, the book hasn't closed on that, because the time the judge said, well, we need to monitor this throughout the years. I believe that it could be settled soon, if they continue to do what they're doing, changing laws to make sure that those students benefit. But you know, we took it to the federal level. We asked for a review of the law itself, and we contested the equalization formula. Not that there was anything bad with the formula, but it just, we felt it wasn't equal. And so we won, and as a result of that, it kind of helped us with the changing of law. And I thank all the legislators, both the left and the right, because they came together, did something bipartisan, which is awesome.
Right.
I think we need more of that bipartisan to get things done in the United States, but they did something good here in the state of New Mexico. And it's going to go down historically as some kind of change for students. Again, it is about students, about getting kids what they need. And that money is needed. I mean, our students, whether they're in Central Consolidated or Hobbs or Clayton or Albuquerque or wherever you're at, we deserve good facilities. And so that's what it was about.
Very good. And so with this, are you looking at some of the buildings in Central schools,
yeah,
and some of their ages, and maybe making a list of the, you know, maybe we could build a new school here or renovate a school over there, or those types of things?
Good question. We've approached PSFA about maybe looking at the way they allocate money.
Now, that's the Public School Finance Administration or
public,
something to that?
Schools Facility Authority.
Okay.
It's the one that, because of the Zuni lawsuit back in 2000, this organization became an organization.
Okay. They formed this organization.
And they oversee all the building for public schools. Rank all the schools. They go to a school and they determine whether it needs to be replaced or whatever the case may be, and they rank all the schools.
Okay.
We've approached them several times in the last 6 months about their ranking, because there are districts that have the capacity to build schools by raising a bond, and they can do that. And we talked about having them look at it again, because a district like ours and other districts, believe it or not, may be in the listing in the top 100, but they're not eligible for funding because there's other schools that are ahead of them that will never get any, they'll never use the state funding because they'll raise it via their own dime, so
I
to
see.
Speak.
And so their bonding capacity.
Their bonding capacity. APS is a perfect example of it. They have a lot of schools, and they have the ability to build a new school if they want to. But they also qualify under the state rules that they could be in that listing and qualify for state funding. So what we're trying to do is move our schools up, and we have the ability right now. It looks really good that we could be replacing 5-6 of our schools. We should be breaking ground on Newcomb Elementary, and then Newcomb Middle and High School are eligible, as well as Shiprock High School and Kirtland Central. And the time frame on that is a plus or minus because of the steel,
sure,
and things that happen out in the – but we're looking at a probably – plus or minus 5-year time frame for those schools to be redone. And I'm not promising anything to anybody out there. So they say,
it's on tape.
Mr. Bevin, yeah. But we're looking at a plus or minus 5-year turnaround, okay, for new facilities. And those are the 5 and 6. Oh, and TBA Middle School.
Okay, save a tie. And so these would be renovations or brand new schools, or still to be decided?
To be determined, but with a high probability of brand new schools.
I got you. And so I'm thinking about these schools that you listed. These seem to me to be some of the older buildings in the district. Am I?
Yes.
And I don't know how many years old they are.
Yeah,
but
they're in bad shape.
They've been around for a while.
People might just on the surface go to a school and visit them and say, oh, they keep this up to the school well. Well, you know, we have foundation issues. We have just a lot of things that we have to correct.
Right. And, well, again, you talked about HVAC before, and so I know some of those systems, it's really expensive to even upgrade those when you can. Sometimes you can't even do that, I think.
When you're maintaining a building, it costs money to keep it up. If you have an HVAC system that's not producing the heat or the cooling that it should, you're actually spending more money on energy because it's not efficient. And we have the ability with technology, I think a lot of districts do, and a lot of businesses have the ability to control those things from a distance. If something's wrong, and get on a computer and diagnose it. A lot of our systems don't have that, so you have to manually go in there and try to figure out what's going on with it, why it's not working. And that takes time, that takes energy, that takes some money. And with this new technology and the money that we're getting, we're going to be looking at those things.
So. Right. Well, and a lot of times when I've had conversations in other district superintendents, of course, the design of schools has changed over the years.
Yeah.
And especially in the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
It's a lot different because in the past, you wanted to have a lot of windows and a lot of doors and people could come and go as they wanted and it was no big deal. And certainly in the last 20 years, it is a big deal, and you really want to control who's coming and going and know where your kids are and where they're not and all those different things, right? And have
Absolutely.
Secure entries and exits.
So that's a safety issue. I think that the designs have to be different. If you want a lot of windows, maybe they're higher up and not so low. That way you can have the natural light come in and still be able to protect from, let's say, any kind of safety issues that
sure.
may come up with what's happened around the United States and even in our local area. But what's important about that is that efficiency, better built buildings, saves money on energy. And again, it's really important that we focus on those design.
Right. And so that could be coming too with these
Absolutely.
Plans that you're talking about over mm-hmm. the next 5 to 6 years.
Plus or minus.
All right. Yes, sir. I remember. That's true. But very exciting. And certainly for your kids too, I would think, you know, if I'm going to class in a brand new school, I might feel a little better about going to class than in the old drafty school. I don't know.
And you talked about design, about the way the schools are designed now. They used to be the school of thought that you needed a computer lab. And that space is no longer needed because technology is integrated with in the classroom. So you don't need a separate space to go to the computer lab, learn how to key
right.
and do that stuff. So
right.
that space can be used for something else. And so when you have a brand new school and you keep it well maintained, students want to go to a school where they feel safe and comfortable. But more importantly, you want to build a facility that mirrors where they may go after they graduate high school, whether it's a community college like San Juan or a big university like UNM, or if they want to go to a trade school, they want to be able to feel comfortable and not feel like they can't handle that situation. And I think that's the piece that people forget when you're designing a school. You want it to mirror where you want your kids to be able to go and feel comfortable.
Right. Well, certainly some exciting news. And,
absolutely.
We're hoping, plus or minus.
Plus or minus.
But we're excited. And the work will start probably fairly quickly to design some of these things and go to the communities and get some of their input, too.
Right. The first one we have that's already been that we've been working on with design and community input is Newcomb Elementary.
Okay.
Now that we have this money, we can, you know, some of the restrictions on state money to build a school are you're limited on what you can get for your money. And so one of the concerns down there was the gym, having a gym for them. Well, we have some money, we're able to expand and make sure that we have a nice gym for them because basketball down there is really important and other
yeah.
things. So,
you no
know.
Kidding.
But yeah, it's really exciting. Just very thankful for the staff and continuing to push forward and working through that. And I thank PSFA, I thank the state legislators, thank everybody that's helping kids. It's not about me, it's not about you. We are here to provide the best that we can for students.
Right. Well, nice to hear that the spigot has finally opened a little
yes.
bit wider
oh,
for central
exciting.
Schools.
At least for me, I get to see
kids.
Stuff built.
True, very true. Mr. Benavides, always great to talk with you. Thanks for coming
Likewise.
In. We'll see you next month.
Next month. Take
All
care.
Right.
Be safe.
You too. Thank you very much. It's Daniel Benavides, Superintendent of Schools with the Central Consolidated School District, my guest this morning here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.